Ek sla my oë op na die berge, waar sal my hulp vandaan kom? My hulp is in die naam van die Here, wat skepper is van hemel en aarde, wat nooit laat vaar die werke van sy hande nie, wat trou bly tot in alle ewigheid. Gemeente, ons bid U toe, genade en vrede van God onse Vader, in en deur Jesus Christus, sy Seun, ons Verlosser. En dit word kragtig vermenigvuldig deur die werking van die Heilige Gees in ons midde. Amen. Ek dink dat daardie formulier was 'n uitdaging. Hier kom die groot uitdaging nou. Kom ons maak die woord oop by Johannes 3. Let's open the scripture at the Gospel of John chapter 3. I think I'm going to do the Afrikaans version so we can read the Afrikaans, and I will refer in a sermon to the English. It's going to be much quicker to do it in Afrikaans. It's not that I want to rush the Word of God, but we are restricted by time, so please bear with me. Vir daar net so bietjie. Ek sit hier met 4 Bybels. Letterlik. Johannes 3, sekerlik een van die bekendste hoofstukke in die woord van die Here. Johannes 3, en dan die bekendste vers, een van die bekendste teksverse in die woord van God is vers 16, wat vanoggend ons teks van oordenking is. Maar hy wil 'n verhaal vertel. Ek lees vanaf vers 1, en daar was 'n man uit die Fariseërs met die naam van Nikodemus, 'n owerste van die Jode. Hy het in die nag na Jesus gekom en vir hom gesê, Rabbi, ons weet dat U 'n leraar is wat van God gekom het, want niemand kan hierdie tekens doen wat U doen, as God nie met hom is nie. Jesus antwoord en sê vir hom, voorwaar, ek sê vir jou, as iemand nie weergebore word nie, kan hy die koninkryk van God nie sien nie. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nikodemus sê vir hom, hoe kan 'n mens, as hy oud is, gebore word? Hy kan toch nie 'n tweede keer in die skoot van sy moeder ingaan en gebore word nie? Jesus antwoord, voorwaar, ek sê vir jou, as iemand nie gebore word uit water en gees nie, kan hy in die koninkryk van God nie ingaan nie. Wat uit die vlees gebore is, is vlees, en wat uit die gees gebore is, is gees. Moenie jou verwonder, dat ek vir jou gesê het, jylle moet weer gebore word nie. Marvel not, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Die wind waai waar hy wil, en jy hoor sy geluid, maar jy weet nie van waar hy kom en waarheen hy gaan nie. So is elkeen wat uit die gees gebore is. Nikodemus antwoord en sê vir hom, hoe kan hierdie dinge gebeur? How can these things be? Jesus antwoord en sê vir hom, jy is die leraar van Israel, en jy weet hierdie dinge nie? Voorwaar, ek sê vir jou, ons spreek wat ons weet, en ons getuig van wat ons gesien het, en jylle neem ons getuienis nie aan nie. Let op die meervoud, jylle. Hy verpraat nie nou net alleenlik met Nikodemus nie. As ek jylle van die aardse dinge vers 12 vertel en jylle glo nie, hoe sal jylle glo as ek jylle van die hemelse vertel? En niemand het opgevaar in die hemel nie, behalwe hy wat uit die hemel neergedaal het, namelijk die Seun van die mens wat in die hemel is. En net soos Moses die slang in die woestyn verhoog het, so moet die Seun van die mens verhoog word, sodat elkeen wat hom glo, nie verlore mag gaan nie, maar die ewige lewe mag hê. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. vers 16, want so lief het God die wêreld gehad, dat hy sy eniggebore seun gegee het, sodat elkeen wat hom in hom glo nie verlore mag gaan nie, maar die ewige lewe kan hê. Want God het sy seun in die wêreld gestuur nie om die wêreld te veroordeel nie, maar dat die wêreld deur hom gered kan word. Hy wat in hom glo, word nie veroordeel nie, maar hy wat nie glo nie, is alreeds veroordeel, omdat hy nie geglo het in die naam van die enige gebore seun van God nie. En dit is die oordeel, dat die lig in die wêreld gekom het, en die mense het die duisternis liewer gehad as die lig, want hulle werke was boos. Want elkeen wat kwaad doen, haat die lig en kom nie na die lig nie, dat sy werke nie bestraf mag word nie. Maar hy wat die waarheid doen, kom na die lig, sodat sy werke openbaar kan word, dat hulle in God gedoen is. Net tot daar uit die woord van die Here. Please remain seated and let us pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that inspires us, that guides us, that teaches us, and that impart the truths of your word into our hearts. Dankie Here dat ons vanoggend hierdie diens nou aan u kan opdra vir die soveelste keer. Dankie vir elke gebed wat in die voorafgaande dae, maar ook vanoggend alreeds vir hierdie geleentheid opgegaan het. Dankie dat ons nou kan vra dat u kom spreek. Ons wil in besonder bid vir elkeen wat in hierdie dag, in hierdie week, hulle verjaarsdag gedenk, dat u hulle seën. Ons wil u dank vir hulle wat siek is en ongesteld is, wat ons aan u kan voorhou. Sommige wat deur baie moeilike tye beweeg, maar heel wat van ons mense wat ook geraak word deur die griepvirus en al die duisende virusse wat daarmee gepaard gaan, ons kinders. Dankie dat ons kan bid ook vir die jeugkamp. Dankie dat ons weet dat u ook daar werksaam is. En nou vra ons Here, kom en verheerlik u self. Dis al begeerte wat ons het. Verheerlik u self in en deur hierdie diens. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Ons teks van oordenking is 'n baie bekende teks, want so lief het God die wêreld gehad, dat hy sy eniggebore seun gegee het. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a text that we will meditate upon this morning during this sermon, and we're going to do a short introduction. We have a picture there of the man Nicodemus visiting the Lord at night time. But when we look at the Gospel of John, it's very essential and important that we should realize why did John pen the Gospel? Uit watter perspektief het Johannes geskryf? John had a couple of main objectives, but mainly to present Jesus as the everlasting Word. Gaan lees Johannes hoofstuk 1. In die begin was die Woord, en die Woord was by God, en die Woord was God. Jesus is the living, everlasting Word. That was his purpose, to present him to his readers and to us in our day, to realize also that he was and still is the only begotten Son of God the Father. Jesus is die Seun van God, and he was also the Messiah. Very important facts. It's from this perspective that John presents to us his gospel. Van hierdie agtergrond uit wat Johannes kom en die woord van God aan ons kom meedeel. And then it's important that Jesus had an opportunity to teach Nicodemus. Nikodemus het nodig gehad om te hoor, wie is Jesus? Hy het nodig gehad om te sien, wie is Jesus, die Seun van God? And then, it was very important, while speaking to Nicodemus, that Jesus used the opportunity to clarify the necessity of a new birth. Nicodemus was one of the main spiritual people at that time within Israel, and he did not understand what a new birth entailed. Hy het nie volle begrip gehad nie, en daar was 'n rede voor. And therefore it's very important this morning that we would like to discuss with you this new birth that Jesus refers to more than once in this scripture, a part of scripture. Baie belangrik, and we are going to discuss only two very important points. The man, Nicodemus, we need to understand who he was, where he came from, what was his relationship to his own people, to Jesus, and then that divine offer of salvation that Jesus presents to Nicodemus. Daardie goddelike reddende plan wat Christus kom aanbied aan een van die leraars van Israel, geliefdes. The man Nicodemus takes our full attention now. And there he's talking to Jesus, and we will present to you 7 facts about this man. I'm going to leave this on the screen there. I know it's a little bit smaller. Afrikaans is in die blou, soos ons kan sien, and the English in black. All of these 7 points are very important to understand why did Nicodemus act the way he did, hoekom het hy so opgetree, en dan om daarom ook nie to pick up stones and throw Nicodemus with the stones, because he was a preacher of his day, he was a dominee of his day, if we can relate to him in that manner, but to realize there are a lot of Nicodemuses amongst us, even in our day. So that's very important. Somebody once said the following: everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. It's very hard, but somebody once said, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Almal wat oor die hemel praat, gaan nie noodwendig hemel toe nie. This line describes many people in church. Many church members talk a lot about heaven, but might not be going there. Why not? Many people identify outwardly with Christ, but they've never been inwardly changed by Christ. They've never experienced Christ inwardly. Geliefdes, dis een ding om uiterlik te praat oor Christus, maar dis iets anderste om innerlik verander te word om soos Christus te lewe. Jesus refused to accept superficial faith. Remember how Nicodemus answered him. I'm just going to put it in simple English. Lord, we all have taken notice of all the miracles that you are doing. And I must say it to you, we believe that God is with you, because nobody can do these miracles if God is not with you. You see, Nicodemus was influenced, impressed by the miracles he had witnessed, the wonders that Jesus had done. But Nicodemus never experienced the redemptive work that God does through Jesus Christ, his Savior. Ek en u sien baie wonderwerke, Ek het al gewonder of ek 'n boek kan skryf oor die 20 jaar se wonderwerke wat ek net in hierdie gemeente meegemaak het. Nie net gesien het of gehoor het nie, meegemaak het. Maar dit alles beteken niks wanneer ek nie in 'n lewende verhouding tot Christus staan nie. He was a man of great esteem. He was a member of the Pharisees. It also tells us that he was also a leader. He was a ruler of the Jews. He had all the credentials, but he lacked something in his spiritual life. What was it that what Jesus required? He required total commitment. This is explained when we look at Jesus' encounter with a rich young man. What do I need to do, O Lord, to be born again or to be saved? Jesus came right to the point. Go and sell everything you have. What was between Jesus and this young ruler was all his money, all his proudness. When Nicodemus came and said, I honor you so much because we've taken notice of everything that you do, and we know it's only God that enables you, Jesus said to him, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about you. He came right to the point. He spoke to him and he said to him the following. He said to him in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Beloved, our credentials does not matter to God. What matters to our Lord is our hearts. Wat is in my hart? Behoort ek aan Christus? Do I have a personal relationship with Christ? Nicodemus showed a lot of respect towards Jesus. He called him Rabbi. Even though Jesus never participated in any school of rabbis, he addressed him as Rabbi, noticing that he's truly a man of God. Sometimes in our lives we show a lot of respect towards God. Ons wys soveel waardering vir God, soveel respect. Ons Bybel, ons we treasure our Bible. It's a holy book. It's respect. But do I know Jesus as my personal Savior? The real problem, the real issue that was the problem here was the phrase that Jesus used, verily, verily. Some of the other English translations used, truly, truly, I say to you. That is the word, amen, amen. In the New Testament, it only occurs in the Gospel of John. Did you know that? Net in die Evangelie van Johannes vind jy hierdie uitdrukking van die Here Jesus. En here in verse 3, Jesus used this phrase to introduce the vitally important truth that there is no entrance into God's kingdom unless one is born again. Geliefdes, geen kerk, geen gemeente, geen kursus wat ek of u gedoen het, vat my in die koninkryk van God in. I am born into the kingdom of God by the rebirth, when I become a new being. My old self, my old sinful self, cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus taught, not what Gary teaches. Dis wat die Heer Jesus vir ons gelê het. We need to look at the insight of Nicodemus. What insight did he display? And that we see in verses 4 to 8. Nicodemus was completely taken apart. He didn't realize what was happening. This man, Jesus, apprehended him with a straightforward remark. He didn't even pay attention to what Nicodemus had told him. I know you are from God. Hy was flabbergasted, soos die Engelse sal sê. Why? It is evident that these words had caught him completely off guard. He had never heard that he, a ruler of Israel, that he, a Pharisee, a well-known man, had to be reborn. What was that? And he asked, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He could not understand what Jesus was talking about. Hy kon dit nie begryp nie. Geliefdes, Nicodemus knew that he had been taught his entire life that salvation came through his own external merit. Now he found it exceedingly difficult to think otherwise. Wat 'n tragedie. He had no insight into the working of God. It was crucial that Jesus had to explain to him and all of us to realize that the new birth is not accomplished by our own works, our own external works of merit. The new birth is God's work. Geliefdes, God verander u en vir my het hy verander. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 5, I'm addressing you from the King James Version, the old King James Version. Now, it's very important, there are two aspects mentioned here, water and Spirit, and I would like to make it very clear that Jesus was not referring to any form of baptism when he mentions water. In the Old Testament, we know that water was used for cleansing purposes. And we know there were quite a bit of ritual cleansing that had to take place whenever they wanted to go into the presence of God, etc., etc. We must also realize that Nicodemus knew nothing about Christian baptism at that stage. We must also realize that Jesus never refers to any form of baptism. And that's where we go so wrong, because we miss the point that Jesus is making. We completely forget about the work of the Spirit of God. And Jesus goes and he explains this. What we need to realize is that the two terms, water and spirit, forms a parallel to the phrase, born again. It refers to being born again. And I'm not going to try and explain that any further today, because that is not the purpose of a sermon. Jesus reminds Nicodemus of the words of Ezekiel 36, verse 24 to 27. I told you I've got a couple of Bibles here. Here's another one. And it's an old King James Version. And I'm going to read Ezekiel 36 from verse 24. Listen to the prophetic word. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your land. God is speaking about His people Israel. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. God does the cleansing. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Nicodemus! How is it possible that you do not know what the Old Testament teaches? You are a teacher of Israel. That is what Jesus is referring to. Nicodemus, hoe kan jy die dinge nie verstaan nie? Dis 'n werk van God. Nicodemus must have known that the Old Testament teaches regeneration. If you want to go look it up, please look in chapter 31, Jeremiah, verse 31 to 34, Ezekiel 11, verse 18 to 20. Nicodemus didn't pay any attention to the Holy Spirit. When we say that it's God that does the work, we can never exclude the participation of a third person in the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit of God. Ons kan nie vergeet. In Ezekiel, the prophet tells us that God had told His people He will clean them, and then He will give them a new heart, and then His Spirit will be inside of us. And this is what gebeur at the new birth. We receive the Spirit of God residing within our hearts. The Holy Spirit, not the flesh, as he refers to in verse 6. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He changes us. And this Holy Spirit is explained by Jesus by illustrating the wind, with the wind. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. Die Heilige Gees werk in wie hy wil, wanneer hy wil, soos hy wil, hoe hy wil, en niks en niemand kan hom keer nie. Ons hoor die wind waai. Ons sien soms die uitwerking as die wind kwaai gewaai het. The question is, do we see when we are full of the Holy Spirit? We should be able to see the fruit of a spirit. The Spirit wants to bear fruit in and through our lives. Nicodemus, he was guilty of his own ignorance, sy onkunde. And so are many of us. Sometimes we think we know a lot. I always say, a little bit of knowledge is very dangerous. But also in the same voice I would say, whenever we think we know everything, it's time to find out how little we really know. I was very privileged. Time in my life, I did some studies at the university, and I came out quite good after that, because while studying, I realized hoe min het ek geweet. It doesn't help. We know the Bible, we know all the verses, we can quote them. Nicodemus displayed his own ignorance with a question, how can these things be? It was hard for him to let go of his own legalistic way of life. his own legalistic religious system. He had to realize that salvation was a sovereign, gracious work of God's Spirit. Having said all of that about the man Nicodemus, it's very important that you also realize that my heart is so warm towards this man. I didn't try to picture him in a negative sense, to break him down as a human being or a person. He came to Jesus at night, but the fact is, he came. And that was very important. And I should put this question to you before I consider even doing the last part of a sermon. Have you ever decided to go to Jesus for salvation? I remember in my own life, it took me years to come to true salvation because I never intended to accept him completely. I wanted to use him like a spare wheel on a motor car. I'm ashamed to say this, until one day I could not resist his love anymore. For God so loved the world, that world included me. I would like to spend a few minutes on the divine offer of salvation. A couple of three important aspects. After Nicodemus' question in verse 9, how can these things be? The renowned Pharisee did not offer anything more to the conversation. He realized he was out of his own debt. He realized that he couldn't convince Jesus anymore. And I'm sure he realized that Jesus was offering something to him, which at that moment, at that very moment, he wasn't really willing to accept. Twice did he profess ignorance to Jesus' teaching. In verse 4, he said, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He missed completely what Jesus was trying to tell him. In verse 9, he answered, how can these things be? His real problem was not a lack of divine revelation. Sy probleem was nie dat 'n goddelike openbaring nie met hom gepraat het nie, want Jesus self, wat die waarheid is, het voor hom gestaan. Jesus, waarvan die Ou Testamentiese profete getuig het, het voor hom gestaan. He must have known about the Messiah that was predicted. But he was unbelieving. He was highly educated in the Old Testament. He had just dialogued with a teacher who was the source of truth. He refused to believe at that moment. So yeah, we all gather together today. We can have a nice lunch after this. We sit, we are very quiet in the pews here. This is by a spill. And we're thinking, and we are mingling with what is going on inside of us. I've been through it many times. I still do go through it sometimes. You think I sit and I listen to Dominic P and I say, what is he telling me? Sometimes even his word, it strikes the core of my heart. I'm asking you, are you going to refuse to believe? Jesus' rebuke went beyond Nicodemus. I made a point of pointing it out to you that he was referring to you all in that one verse, referring to Israel, the same people who laid down the palm trees for him, would a week later shout out, crucify him, crucify him, take him away. Sometimes we do the same, in a different sense perhaps, but by staying unbelieving, we reject Him as our Savior. What is the answer? The answer is what we read in verse 13 to 17. Jesus explains to him that he is the Son of God. He came from heaven. He came to pay for the penalties of our sins. He will be uplifted. And he refers to an Old Testament illustration, like Moses had used his rod with a serpent on top. And when the people, while they were dying, looked up to that serpent, they were healed. He referred to that occurrence in the wilderness. And something should have ignited in Nicodemus's brain, his knowledge, but it should have ignited his heart with a burning fever. But it did not. So is Jesus opgelig aan die kruis om te sterf vir jou en my sonde. And Jesus told that to him. The divine offer of salvation to the world is motivated by God's love. For God so loved the world, want so lief het God die wereld gehad. We need to believe and come to Jesus and accept Him as our Savior and be born again, becoming a new being. God's gracious gift of salvation is free and available to whoever believes in Christ. What are the results? Jesus puts it very clearly that those that reject the saving grace of God, those that do not want to be reborn, they shall not enter the kingdom of God. Geliefdes, soveel mense is soos Nicodemus, hulle klou vas aan 'n kerk, 'n institusie, 'n groepie geestelikes, 'n teksversie, maar sonder Jesus. I read to you John 3 verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. He came. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John also tells us he came to his people, but his own people, they did not want to have anything to do with him. Geliefdes, I close this sermon this morning with a very important question. But what then happened to Nicodemus? What happened? When I read God's word, John chapter 3, it's very clear that at that moment, Nicodemus never came to Jesus. He never came to faith in Jesus at that time. Nothing in our passage confirms that he was saved that evening. However, and I thank God for however, ek dank God vir daardie uitdrukking, maar he never forgot his discussion with Jesus. You might leave this church today and say, it was not a bad sermon, but I pray to God that you never forget the sermon of a new birth, of being regenerated, om wedergebore te word. He never forgot his discussion with Jesus. At a later stage, in chapter 7, verse 50, Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, he said to them, being one of them, verse 51, doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? He had the courage within this meeting of the Pharisees to stand up and to stand up for Jesus, for his righteousness, because they wanted to kill him with no reason. Later, we also read in John chapter 19, and it's so very special that John refers to this Nicodemus again and again. John 19, verse 38 and 39. And after this, Joseph, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. What do we take from this? I've got very reliable sources that tells me all these were actions that indicate the presence of genuine faith in his life. Somewhere between his evening out with Jesus, something happened. Sometime after the memorable evening he spent with Jesus, but before the crucifixion, Nicodemus came to understand God's sovereign grace and experienced the reality of a new birth. What a wonderful tale from God's Word. Have you experienced the new birth in your life? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful work of Jesus our Lord. We thank you for him having paid for our sins on Calvary, and we delight in the fact that he had risen, and therefore the Christian faith is the only faith worldwide that prays to a living God. And we pray in this morning that whoever had heard your word, and whoever are willing in this moment to come to you, to believe, to come in faith, to accept Jesus Christ as their only Savior, to receive this new life in Christ and to become reborn. We pray this for everyone in this church, but also for everyone listening. Elke een, wêreldwyd. Ons bid dit in Jesus se wonderlike naam. Amen. Die genade van ons Here Jesus Christus, die liefde van God ons Vader, die opsoekende gemeenskap van God die Heilige Gees, wees en bly met die elkeen, en herinner ons, reminds us, van die wedergeboorte, the new birth, the new life in Christ. Amen.